And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is deeper understanding. Each of my guests is giving us a glimpse into the inner workings of his subject. My next guest is a huge fan of the Beatles. He filmed people, both famous and not famous, who had a personal story about themselves and the Fab Four. The project resulted in the never-before-heard accounts in the film Beatles Stories. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation or if you want to ask a question, you can call us at 639-0008. Seth Swirsky is a pop music songwriter, including the Grammy-nominated Tell It to My Heart. He's also a best-selling author, an award-winning recording artist, a filmmaker, a political writer, and a noted baseball memorabilia collector. Seth describes himself as a manic expressive. Welcome to the show, Seth. How are you today?
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here.
Well, thanks for being our guest. I love having thought leaders like yourself, especially somebody who describes themselves as a manic expressive. I take that and take note of that. That's a great title. Let's dive into this. I mean, you make no excuses about it, Seth. The Beatles influenced you at an early age, and that may be the reason that you are a songwriter performer today. Now, looking at your age, you were only four when the Beatles first appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show. So how did you get introduced to the Beatles? What appealed to you about their music?
Well, you know, my parents had me at a very young age. They were both 18. And so they were buying these records, you know, when I was 5 and 6 years old. So I really do consider myself a child of the 60s.
Uh-huh.
You know, most of the time we get introduced to music or want to play an instrument or are influenced by music is usually around 12, 13, 14, 15 is when a lot of kids pick it up. But I remember playing in front of my entire grade school. You know, ages, kindergarten all the way through sixth, they would pack everybody into the auditorium. And I'd be playing Hey Jude because it had just come out in May of 68.
Wow.
So I was introduced to it very early, and it hit me very, very powerfully, the great melodies and just the style of the Beatles on every level.
Did your parents play musical instruments, Seth?
Yes, my mom is a guitar player.
Ah, okay, so that's where you get it. Now, in what ways can we see the Beatles' influence in your personal style of songwriting and performing?
Well, I happen to love the style that they not only had, but the style of the 60s and 70s songwriters. You know, it's concise pop songs. It's about 2.5 minutes or 3 minutes long. There's a number of choruses you can sing. I love being able to sing, you know, and I think that's a very human thing that we like to do. It's not that much in music today. But if I could just tell you, you know, not only do I record, I have two entities as a recording artist. One is as myself, and then I have a brand new record out with my band called The Red Button. And a lot of people compare us to the Beatles sound and the sound of the 60s. And by the way, we're galaxies away in terms of, you know, nobody's John Lennon and Paul McCartney. So don't think I'm comparing myself to them. But we do very much like that kind of, that genre, that kind of pop song, where it doesn't go on for 4 or 5 or 6 minutes. It's not self-indulgent. It really gives you a lot of melodies, and it gives it to you a few times. It gives you those choruses a couple of times, and it's cut down to about 2.5 to 3 minutes.
I see. My guest is Seth Swirsky. Seth, what would you say is the least appreciated or underreported aspect of the Beatles in their music and the effect that they had on society?
Well, I think that they were the counterbalance to what, and I unfortunately hate to bring this into the interview, but I think they were the counterbalance in the 20th century to what Hitler brought to the world.
Wow!
He turned the world black. Basically, it was a very, very dark period, and no one could actually imagine how dehumanized the world became. People looked at humanity and said, wow, could that actually have happened? The Beatles, I think, were the counterbalance to that in the 20th century. They brought so much joy and so much of a feeling of love and possibility and freedom. And that's why you heard their music being listened to so much behind the Iron Curtain in Russia and behind, where it wasn't allowed. So I do think, if you want to talk about, you know, the larger levels of what the Beatles meant, I think they were the counterbalance to all things negative.
All things totalitarian, all things oppressive. My guest is Seth Swirsky, who is the filmmaker behind Beatles Stories. And Seth, how did the project Beatles Stories come about? I mean, what made you think that there were still stories to tell that hadn't been already told about the Fab Four?
Well, I was playing in Liverpool at the Cavern Club where the Beatles had started, and my first solo album, Instant Pleasure, had just come out, and I was asked to play there. I was thrilled, obviously. And I thought I knew all those stories that you just mentioned, you know, like, I thought they were all out there already, until I sat down at a couple of pubs there and started talking to some people, you know, that this is the town where the Beatles grew up, and I started hearing stories I'd never heard. So I decided when I got back to Los Angeles, where I live, I was just going to buy a video camera and track down people who had a story about themselves and the Beatles, and before I knew it, I'm interviewing Ben Kingsley and Graham Nash and Brian Wilson and Art Garfunkel, all these people. I just did a lot of research, and they just had these fantastic stories that I had never heard. So I love history. I love research. And I had to teach myself how to use this video camera and how to set up a little lighting and a little sound. But that's really what the movie Beatles Stories is about. It's a compendium of about 50 stories told by all these people that I chopped into 1.5-minute bits. So you actually see each of these stories, and they only last about a minute to 2 minutes long, as I say.
Yeah, and it's a great thing. It's a film that's coming to the Ojai Film Society. It's coming, in fact, on Sunday, July the 17th. It's going to be playing up there at 4:30 p.m. We'll talk more about that later, Seth. But I was amazed and really just shocked by the numbers of people that you got to turn out to tell their own personal Beatles story. Some of the musicians, some of them not musicians. I just want to kind of to go through with some of the ones that resonated with me, if you don't mind, and talk to you about what it was like working with that particular individual to get their Beatles story. And I'm going to start with Sir George Martin, who was the Beatles producer. I mean, that's a natural place to start. But you'd think all of the stories had been told by George Martin about the Beatles that could be told. What was the fascination there? What was the connection that he had with the Beatles?
Well, you know, he was their producer, obviously, and I was at the Love Show the first night in Las Vegas, and I just literally bumped into George Martin, and here I am. You know, he's one of the all-time people I've always wanted to meet and talk to.
Oh,
and
sure.
I had the camera in my hands, and I turned it on really quickly. You learn to do this if you're being, you know, if you're making a documentary, you know. And I just asked him a few questions, and he answered them, and then it became a matter of, really, the fun of so much of this is I see making a documentary like this almost like a collage. You have to, when you're making a collage, you cut out a lot of different pictures, but you don't put the collage together as you go, because then you're going to notice you have all the red pictures up in the left-hand corner. You know, so it wasn't just George Martin, it was just so many of the people, some that I've mentioned before, but, you know, people like Ray Manzarek from The Doors and Davy Jones of the Monkees. I just found these people with these stories, and I did all the cutting out beforehand, and then a whole different aspect of it was actually placing them where they should be. And so that was a lot of fun as well, and so many, there had to be 20 or 30 pieces that I did that I could not put in the movie.
Oh, wow.
You know, because I didn't want people to sit there for 3 hours. You know, it's not, it was really about how it flowed the best, and how the stories could really be shared the easiest.
My guest is Seth Swirsky. And Seth, does that mean that there's going to be a Beatles story 2 coming shortly?
Oh, well, you know, I just enjoy it so much. And we'll see about that.
But all right.
I'm still on one.
All right, let's continue on with one. And let's talk about somebody who is local here to the Santa Barbara Ventura area, and that is Peter Noon of Herman's Hermits. Now, you got together with Peter. Did you do that in his home in Montecito, or did you find him someplace else?
No, he was a friend of a friend, and I really wanted to interview him. You have to understand that some of the interviews, I chose the people not only because they had the story. They had to have good content. By the way, none of the stories in the movie are, I remember hearing the song Let It Be and it really changed my life. I mean, you'll never hear that. I needed a story you hadn't heard before, or something that if you had heard it, the person telling it to you had never seen them say it on film. So that's why, you know, I interviewed all the Beatles ex-engineers, most of them, I should say. I mean, with amazing stories that you wouldn't know that happened. But with Peter Noon, I had interviewed somebody, and he mentioned to me, you know, I know Peter Noon, and I almost fell over because I loved Peter Noon growing up. Part of the fun of doing the project for me was if I pitched a person and said, listen, I would really love to interview you for this documentary, Hopefully they would say yes, because I'd get to spend 10 minutes with them, or 20, or maybe an hour. Most people gave me an hour.
Wow.
And Peter Noone was a very, very influential person in my own growth. I loved his music. I loved the songs that the Herman's Hermits did. And Peter is a fantastic storyteller. And he told me at least four or five stories, all of them which could have made the movie. But his one of them stood out particularly. And I really hope he has a chance, if he's not on tour, to come down and see it at Ojai.
Well, there's a strong possibility that if you let him know, he'll drive up from Montecito to Ojai. Peter is a guest on our show as well. What about Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys? Now, the Beach Boys and the Beatles kind of had a thing going there in 1967 with who was producing the better album. Beach Boys came out with Pet Sounds. That prompted the Beatles to come out with Sgt. Pepper. What did Brian Wilson have to say about the Beatles?
Well, you have to understand that I'm sitting in Brian Wilson's writing room, first of all, and I'm holding a camera. There's no other camera people around. And there's the piano that he wrote, God Only Knows.
Wow.
And there are his Grammy Awards. And there's all the instruments that were used on the songs I knew growing up, Help Me Rhonda. I mean, crazy, you know, like this project is, it was so satisfying on so many levels, I just tried to transfer the joy of it to the film. So I'm standing there, and there's Brian, and he's talking about how that particular influence and how Paul McCartney would sing him songs when he went to London, that were not even out yet, songs that made it onto Sgt. Pepper, and there's Brian Wilson I'm filming him, and he's singing to me. I couldn't believe that voice that I had, you know, and that writer and that man, one of the greats.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
And it was things like that happened very often. I was on Art Garfunkel's roof of his apartment, and he's pointing, goes, there's the Dakota over there. And I'll never forget my meeting with John Lennon in the Dakota. Let me tell you about it. I don't want to give it away right here, but
no.
Things like that, you know.
Well, and you interviewed so many famous people. I mean, you mentioned Art Garfunkel's one, Susanna Hoffs of the Bangles, Denny Lane, I believe the Mamas and the Papas, etc. But you also interviewed a lot of non-music people, and I wanted to dig into a couple of those. Henry Winkler, who was the Fonzie on Happy Days. Now, there's one that you wouldn't normally associate with the Beatles. Where's the connection there?
The connection was that he, like many of us, like I would say most of the Western world, was a huge fan of the Beatles.
Sure.
And he talks about the day that he had an encounter with one of them. And it's a very special story. Now, you know, there are a lot of people over the years that bumped into Sir Paul McCartney or John Lennon or Ringo Starr or George Harrison. But Henry Winkler's story is very magical. And so I'll leave it at that.
All right.
I want people to see it, but I do. It was really a very funny and fantastic story.
Well, we do want people to see it, and it will be showing this Sunday, July the 17th, in Ojai at the Ojai Playhouse. That's at 145 East Ojai Avenue. If you're interested in learning more about that or even getting tickets, you can go to the website ojaifilmsociety.org, and there you can find out about tickets and their availability. Now, interestingly enough, you said the Beatles touched everybody's lives. There's no doubt about that, but it touched everybody's lives in every aspect of their lives. You've got Frank Gifford in there, who was influenced by the Beatles, football player. I mean, where's the connection there?
The connection was he was one of the announcers on Monday Night Football, and he was at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel on December 9th, 1974, and he sees John Lennon in the lobby there, and he says, John, why don't you, he doesn't know him, but he introduces himself. He goes, John, why don't you come down to the game tonight? And wouldn't you know, John Lennon went down to the football game, and Frank Gifford introduced him to Ronald Reagan.
How about
governor
that?
At the time, and then Governor Reagan puts his arm around John Lennon, according to Gifford's story that he's telling me on film. And then Howard Cosell, interviewed John Lennon on the air, and John Lennon's talking about American football.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, that's the kind of guy that he was. Continuing on in that football theme, Jim Irsay, who's the owner of the Indianapolis Colts, has a Beatle connection. Tell us about that.
Well, he's a very big collector of guitars, one of the biggest guitar collectors in the world. And they had just come off winning the Super Bowl, and I'm interviewing Jim Irsay, and he pulls out a guitar, and there's an owner of the team that won the Super Bowl with the Super Bowl trophy behind him, and he's playing George Harrison's guitar, the one that George played on Revolver and Paperback Writer and Your Bird Can Sing, Lady Madonna, all of these tremendous songs. I mean, it wasn't a guitar that was just used in a session. It was a real instrument, the sound of the Beatles at the time. In the mid-60s.
Amazing.
And it was the same guitar I bought when I was a teenager. I mean, that kind of guitar, an SG, Gibson SG. And I just said, Mr. Irsay, can I maybe, you know, just strum a few chords? And he says, of course you can, of course, here. And he puts it into my hands, and I just couldn't believe. I grew up loving the Beatles so much, I became a musician and songwriter. And there I am playing my idol's guitar.
It's an incredible story. My guest is Seth Swirsky, who is the filmmaker behind Beatles Stories. Seth, what do you want viewers to take away from watching the Beatles Stories?
Well, I want them to take away the fact that these guys, the Beatles, were really hardworking guys. They put it all out for everybody. I mean, they didn't leave anything, you know, on the floor. They really just left it all on the floor, to use that phrase. You know, they really did. And they were putting out two albums a year. You know, I mean, they were really doing it all for everybody. And it's not just the story about the Beatles. It's also the story of a fan who loved them very much, myself. You know, I mean, I kind of represent people, you know, that just loved the Beatles very much.
Sure.
And it's also a story of the people who tell the stories. You know, it's you get to meet a whole lot of people there, the famous and the not, that have these stories, but it's their enthusiasm as well. So it's a three-tiered movie in many ways, but I think it leaves you feeling pretty good.
Well, it certainly does, and it is a great testament to you and the love that you have for the Beatles. My guest has been Seth Swirsky, who is the filmmaker behind Beatles Stories. Seth, if people want to learn more about you, learn more about the film, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, they can go to my website, which is seth.com, and or they could go to beatlesstories.com if they want to learn more about that, or my Facebook page. You know, just look up Seth Swirsky, and I'd love to meet you on Facebook.
That is great. And also remember that you'll be able to see the film this Sunday, July the 17th, at the Ojai Film Society. It'll be played at the Ojai Playhouse, which is at 145 East Ojai Avenue. If you're interested in seeing the film this Sunday, you can get information at their website. That's ojaifilmsociety.org. You can get ticket pricing and ticket availability there as well. Seth, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Absolutely. I did want to mention, I will be at the screening, and we'll be doing a Q&A afterwards.
Oh, that's great. So you can really get a glimpse into the workings of the brain of Seth while he's there at the Film Society, too. So that's great, Seth. Thanks for bringing that up. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay.
Take care.